Hi, my name is Sarah. Welcome to my podcast. Just to preface, I am in grade school and I'm definitely not a podcast expert. I'm very much a beginner in the space, so please keep that in mind as you listen. This is a learning experience for me, and I'm excited to grow along the way. The theme of this first run of episodes, if you like, is exploring how childhood shapes our values, beliefs, and aspirations. I've always been fascinated by how our early experiences influence who we become, and I wanted to dive deeper into that. The inspiration behind this podcast comes from the book How to Know a Person by David Brooks. His exploration of how our formative years shape our identity has really resonated with me, and it sparked this idea to explore these childhood stories through the lens of psychology. In each episode, I'll be interviewing a guest about their childhood and how it influenced the person they are today. Then, I'll take a deeper dive into the psychological theories and concepts that relate to the experiences shared. It's a way for me to connect real-life stories with the theories I'm learning about, while offering you a deeper understanding of human behavior along the way. Thanks for tuning in. I can't wait to get started. So, why this podcast? I've always loved hearing childhood stories from my family and those around me. The detail and emotion in these stories not only fascinated me, but also gave me insight into how those experiences shaped the people I knew. It was like discovering a younger version of someone, like peeling back the onion layers to reveal who they were at a different point in time. Even when I didn't fully understand it, there was something intellectually stimulating about the process. Now, as I've developed a keen interest in psychology, I can match those experiences with psychological theories, adding depth to my understanding and taking the process of peeling back the onion layers to a new level. As a 17-year-old, I don't hear as many childhood stories anymore. This change is something I regret because when I was younger, I had all the onions but no recipe to make the onion pie. Now, as an HLIB psychology student and aspiring psych major, I have the recipe, but I'm missing the onions. This podcast series is my way of bringing those stories and experiences back into my life. It allows me to reconnect with the childhoods of those around me while also gaining a deeper understanding of psychological theories and terminology. My goal is to collect the onions, peel back the layers, apply the recipe, and hopefully create something insightful, kind of like making an onion pie. Since this is the first episode, I feel like you should get to know me before you start getting to know others through me. As I mentioned, I'm in high school, and so most of my life has been my childhood. And while my memory is inconsistent, and research reminds us that memory is increasingly unreliable, I do have a few memories that I can recall in detail. Coupled with getting to know me through my childhood and my experiences, running with the theme of this chain of episodes, I will follow with how these experiences led me to who I am right now, talking to you. This will hopefully also give you a taster or a good idea of how these episodes will be structured, or their contents, so you can see if this is really for you. Starting with basics, my parents met in the States, where I was born along with my older sister and brother. A few years later, my parents moved us to Switzerland, where I grew up. Most of my earliest memories of joy I can remember, as if they happened yesterday. One that my mother and I share equally vividly is her filming me dancing to music in the living room of our first apartment in Switzerland. I was 2 or 3 years old, in a long striped shirt dress type thing, and wearing black leggings, dancing, bunny ears because dancing is a relative term for 2-year-old me, to Telephone by Lady Gaga. I remember bobbing up and down a bit, enjoying my mom's entertainment of me, but I wanted her to change the song and play my favorite song at the time, Poker Face, instead. But I didn't know the name properly. So in a feeble attempt to communicate with my mom, I babbled, "Face, face." I remember it was just me and my mom, her giggling and encouraging me, and me half dancing, half whining for her to change the song. Another memory is from my 6th birthday. I had a Garfield-themed party at a kids' play center, and I was wearing a tutu. My distinct memory is of sliding down the bright red slides over and over again, almost forgetting that it was my birthday party, and just wanting to lose myself in the speedy, weightless feeling. Looking back, I can pin the vividness of these details of the memories to the Pollyanna principle. The Pollyanna principle refers to the tendency for people to focus more on positive experiences and to recall them more easily than negative ones. The principle suggests that people have an inherent bias towards remembering good events. This bias happens for a few reasons. Firstly, cognitive processing. Our brains are more likely to store and retrieve positive memories because they are emotionally rewarding. Happy memories are more pleasant to revisit, so they are more easily accessed. Secondly, positive reinforcement. Positive emotions often result in a release of dopamine, which strengthens memory formation and recall. This makes happy experiences more vivid and easier to remember. Lastly, psychological well-being. Focusing on positive memories helps people maintain a positive outlook on life, contributing to overall well-being. In essence, the Pollyanna principle explains why, when recalling past events, people often remember the good over the bad, which is why, despite these memories being over a decade ago, I remember them so vividly. Back to when I moved to Switzerland. We lived there until I was in first grade, when we moved to Mexico for 6 months. A few years after returning, my siblings and I had decided to go to boarding school in the UK. Our parents had always made it clear to us that they wanted us to make those kinds of decisions for ourselves, like choosing where we wanted to go to school, despite me, their youngest, being 9 years old at the time. Nevertheless, my two siblings and I, at 9, 10, and 12, went. To my disappointment, my experience wasn't what I thought it would be, but the shame of changing my mind made me bottle it all up. Finally, the pressure of my suppressed emotions exploded in a bundle of tears and confusion. With my parents' support, I began to realize my own values. I moved back to Switzerland to be with my parents in time for high school. Although my father had always said, "Fail and change your mind as much as you can," I'd never really appreciated it until that time, because it was that process of changing my mind and acting on it that taught me about how important values of mine are to me. There are key points in that period of time that I can pinpoint to expand on. Firstly is my discovery of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, created by Abraham Maslow. This is a psychological theory that explains human motivation through a five-tier model of needs. These needs are arranged in a pyramid, with basic survival needs at the bottom and self-fulfillment at the top. First is physiological needs. Basic survival necessities like food, water, sleep, and air. Second is safety needs, protection from harm, including physical safety, financial security, and health. Third is love and belongingness needs, such as social connections and friendships or relationships. Fourth is esteem needs, self-respect, recognition, and personal achievements. And lastly, self-actualization, reaching one's full potential, creativity, and personal growth. Maslow suggested that individual must fulfill lower levels before progressing to higher level ones. At multiple points in this period of transitioning, I felt pressure to fulfill esteem needs and even actualization when the rest of my period was barely completed. Not only that, but I wasn't aware of it, so I felt pressure from people around me, and even worse, I put pressure on myself. For example, while in boarding school, I felt pressure to pay attention in every class, get good grades, study, plan for the future, have a social life, which are all tier 4 to 5 needs. In hindsight, I was getting maybe 4 hours of sleep a night while trying to seek help from the people who were meant to be supporting me. Thus, Maslow's hierarchy, I didn't have the capacity for the things I felt pressured to do. Finally, realizing that I can't expect myself to thrive academically and socially before being 100% secure of my health, safety, and belonging was a huge realization for me, and was a crucial step in deciding to move home and ultimately becoming who I am today. This period of time was also home to COVID, which I think shaped everyone alive today. For me, this is a period of packing my things every 5 days. From inside boarding school, having to move rooms or buildings to isolate from the boarding house, being sent away and having to drive 2 hours home to my grandparents or to my aunts, and when school closed, going home, and then being told that we were going to be in Switzerland, then flying back, then contemplating joining a school in Switzerland instead of online school. It was a blur of packing, driving, traveling, staying with unfamiliar people, and most of all, a sudden and drastic changes. A theory that explains the effects that the changes of COVID might have had on adolescents, mostly Gen Z, but a lot of which I experienced, is Bronfenbrenner's ecological systems theory. It explains that a young person is shaped by different layers in their environment. These layers include microsystem, immediate surroundings like family, friends, mesosystem, connections between those surroundings, like how school and home life interact. Exosystem, indirect influences, like a parent's job, neighborhood changes. Macrosystem, big cultural and societal factors, like belief, economy, laws. And lastly, chronosystem, life changes over time, like moving or a parent's divorce. When a young person's environment changes, all these layers shift, affecting their emotions, behavior, and development. The shifts in multiple layers of my environment during COVID align with Bronfenbrenner's ecological systems theory. Where moving between locations and adjusting to new circumstances deeply influenced my emotional well-being and development. In contrast to that period of changing, I'm now very home-oriented, opting to stay home instead of weekends away, missing the comfort of my home, my room, my natural environment, if you like, and stability after merely a few days away. Need for closure theory by Kruglansky briefly explains this. This theory explains that people differ in how much they desire certainty and dislike ambiguity. If someone grows up in an unstable environment, moving frequently, changing schools, or experiencing unpredictable life events, they may develop a strong, quote-unquote, need for closure. This means they seek stability, routine, and predictability in adulthood because it helps them feel secure and in control. They may avoid change, prefer long-term commitments, and feel stressed by uncertainty. Their past instability makes them value a structured, settled life as a way to reduce anxiety and create a sense of safety. I think my case is a very natural response to instability rather than anything extreme. It's less about fear of change and more about appreciating consistency after experiencing unpredictability. Stability gives me a sense of control, but it doesn't mean I can't handle change. I just don't seek it out. Knowing this about myself also makes me aware of what I might gravitate towards in the future, environments, relationships, and routines that offer a sense of steadiness. Lately, people around me have been asking what I want to do in the future, or what I want to study, what career path I'll take. It brings me back to when I was little. I was so certain about becoming a vet. I remember how I was so set on wanting to make a difference and having what I do matter. But now, as the world around me shifts towards decisions about the future, I find myself revisiting that initial ambition with a mix of nostalgia and curiosity. It makes me wonder how my childhood aspirations to be a vet could have developed into my current passion for psychology and biology. The theory that might explain how childhood aspirations influence later interests is identity development theory, particularly as outlined by Erik Erikson. Erikson's stages of psychological development suggest that our early experiences and the challenges we face during childhood contribute to the development of our identity. In his model, childhood is critical for establishing the foundation of who we are, and these early interests or dreams can reflect a desire to express a part of our developing self. This finally brings me to right now, this moment, here, speaking into the mic. As I reflect on these early experiences, it's clear how the foundation of my childhood experiences or childhood aspirations continues to shape who I am today. These reflections and realizations will guide us through these coming episodes, where you will hear more about how childhoods and the psychological theories that align with them can influence each other. I hope this episode has given you some insight on my life, the nature of who I am, especially as a podcaster, and some insight on some psychological theories that we will dive deeper into in coming episodes. I hope this line of episodes sparks curiosity about how early memories and experiences impact our behavior later on. I'm really looking forward to all the different perspectives we'll have the opportunity to hear about. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'd also really appreciate if you could leave any feedback you might have. It helps me improve as we move forward. And if you have any childhood stories or questions you'd like to share for future episodes, I'd love to hear from you. This podcast is meant to be a conversation, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts. Also, as a side note, all of my guest speakers will have full control over what they choose to share. I want them to feel comfortable and safe in sharing their stories, and will only explore what they're willing to discuss. The spirit of this podcast, inspired by David Brooks, is all about letting the conversation unfold naturally and follow the direction they want it to go. I can't wait for next episode. I'll see you next time.